Welcome back to the Spoken Wit Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Vanderlist, and for today's episode, we have an article that was written and recorded for us by Bob Rozieski for the Logan Cabinet Shop weblog. It's titled, Handwork, Efficiency, and Joinery, and was originally posted May 18, 2011. Now, to find more great posts written by Bob, visit his weblog, Logan Cabinet Shop, at www.logancabinetshop.com, and that shop with two P's and an E. And of course, as I always do, I'll have links in the show notes to make it that much easier to get there. So without further delay, let's get on with the show.
In my last two posts about working efficiently with hand tools, we began to look at unlocking this mystery to working efficiently using our hand tools. In the first post, we looked at some historical evidence and records that gave us an idea of just how fast our 17th and 18th century ancestors could work. In the second post, we tied in lumber selection. Today, I want to discuss another secret to doing efficient handwork, the joinery. Traditional joinery, like dovetails, mortise and tenon, etc., are not only the best choice for furniture because of their superior strength, but also because of the ease and speed which they can be made if you're using hand tools. If we look at period pieces, the majority of the joinery, at least the joinery that can be seen in the finished piece, is designed to be made easily with the tools available to the craftsman at the time. We've all probably seen Frank Claus and Rob Cosman cut through dovetails for a drawer-sized piece in about 3 minutes. Half-blind or lap dovetails for a similar-sized piece can be done in roughly twice the time it takes to make through dovetails. While they may not be perfect showy dovetails when cut at that speed, they're just as functional as showy dovetails. Plus, period cabinet makers weren't concerned about making their joinery showy because the joinery was typically hidden inside a case or behind a molding. For the most part, joinery was all about function. One joinery clue to working efficiently can be seen inside of many period drawers. As I mentioned, lap dovetails typically take about twice as long to cut as through dovetails do. However, in a typical period piece, lap dovetails oftentimes will far outnumber the through dovetails, especially if the piece has a lot of drawers. To increase efficiency when cleaning out the pins in lap dovetails, the saw cuts on the pin boards were usually extended well beyond the baseline of the joint. This wasn't sloppy craftsmanship, but rather a way to use the saw to remove more of the waste than could be removed by stopping the saw cut at the baseline. This is most often seen, or not seen, on the inside faces of drawer fronts. However, since the drawers are typically loaded up with items, and since the inside of the drawer front faces away from the person opening the drawers, the overcuts are hidden from view unless one pokes their head into the drawer. Another clue to working efficiently by hand can be seen in the joinery, or the lack of joinery, in wide panels for things like case sides. During the period, wide boards were the name of the game. Very rarely do we see a panel, the side of a case piece like a chest of drawers, for example, made up of more than two edge-glued boards. In fact, we see one wide board even more frequently than two edge-glued boards, except in the case of extremely wide panels like the tops of large dining tables. The reason is speed. If you hand plane your lumber from the rough, you know that it takes just as long to plane the face of a 6-inch wide board as it does to plane the face of a 12-inch or 16-inch wide board. By using hand planes, the stock width we can easily plane isn't limited by the width of a power joiner bed. So by using the widest boards available, we save time. This is because once you plane the wide board flat, you're ready for joinery. In contrast, if you glue up a panel from multiple boards, you have to plane each of those boards flat first, joint their edges, glue them up, and then re-flatten the panel after the glue dries before you can cut any joinery. This adds significantly to the time it takes to build the piece. For this reason, I always try to use the widest boards I can find for a particular part. One group of joints that don't show up very often in period pieces are stop joints. Oftentimes, a question comes up in the hand tool communities as to how to make a stopped groove or a stopped rabbet for something like a small box or a drawer bottom. While these joints can be made with hand tools, they're not made very efficiently. So the short answer is that they require a lot of careful chisel work. However, the longer answer is that while they can be made with hand tools, in the period, they typically weren't. Rather than making a stopped groove or rabbet for a drawer bottom, for example, a through groove and or a through rabbet was used and buried inside of the lap dovetails at the front. At the back of the drawer, there was no groove or rabbet at all. Instead, the drawer back was narrower than the sides, only coming to the top of the groove or rabbet. The drawer bottom could then be slid underneath the drawer back and into the groove or rabbet in the sides and front. For small boxes, with all sides being of equal width rather than using a stop groove or rabbet, through grooves or rabbets can be hidden inside of lap dovetails at the corners, or if through dovetails are desired, the bottom tail and pin can be modified to hide the groove or rabbet. This is much faster and easier than making stopped grooves or rabbets. Where we do occasionally see stop joints is in dados within a desk gallery. Oftentimes, the partitions in the desk's gallery are dadoed into the size of the case. Because these partitions are much narrower than the case sides, stop dados are required in these cases. However, this is more of an exception rather than the rule. In almost all other instances where dado joints may be used in a period case piece, the joints were cut through in order to make them easy to cut with a plane. If you enjoy using hand tools and you've never used a dado plane, you owe it to yourself to try one. There's no faster or easier way to make a properly sized dado than with a proper dado plane. So if you're a hand tool junkie like me, here's my blatant plug for you to study period furniture. Even if you don't like the style and have no intention of ever building a period piece, studying the construction techniques of these pieces will go a long way toward helping you to become more efficient with your hand tools. Once you understand how traditional joinery was used, you can adapt it to any style of furniture you like. Then, when you see something like a contemporary piece in a magazine or gallery that you really like, you can easily switch out the inferior biscuit, pocket screw, lock miter, and cope and stick joinery for stronger traditional joinery methods and still be able to build the piece in a reasonable amount of time using your basic hand tools.